Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Beware. Take heed. Pay attention. Christ our Lord begins our gospel lesson today, the gospel from Matthew chapter 7, with a word emphasizing the duty of the hearer of the words, and that means this morning, you. Take heed. Listen carefully. Take note. This is worth hearing. Beware. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing but are inwardly ravenous wolves. Beware of false teachers. Here Jesus takes the second commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, and he applies it rightly. That you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, and even reminding ourselves of Exodus 20's addition to that, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who misuses his name. Far from being some just general commandment against cuss words, though such empty use of God's name is sinful, Jesus has something far more destructive, far more evil, far more wicked in mind. That the worst violation, the worst way the second commandment is broken is by the teaching of false doctrine. He has the warning of the prophet Jeremiah that you just heard in mind. Men who claim to be of God, from God, speaking of God and God's own words, who bring lies and attach and cover those lies with God's name. Men who are not called, who are not sent by God, but they set themselves up to teach without first having God send them. Or, as Jeremiah says, putting God's words into their mouth. Men who appear like sheep, who have the outward appearance of godliness. Men who might even perform miracles, but whose teaching would be condemned even by the Old Testament standards as false prophecy. As Deuteronomy teaches that the words which direct people away from the one true God onto an idol, it doesn't matter if they do all sorts of miracles and so forth besides. For if they direct people away from the one true God, they are in their teaching violating the second commandment, a sin of the mouth, of confession. Leading then people to the greater sin of the heart, idolatry, the vile breaking of the first commandment. Wolves, ravenous wolves in sheep's clothing, the fruit of which Jesus warns is not their outward appearance, it's not their friendliness, it's not their outward successes, it's not even grand works like exorcisms or prophecies. He's talking about their teaching, that the fruit of a prophet is the prophet's word, his teaching. And as there are only two types of prophets, true prophets and false prophets, there are only two types of teaching or doctrine, true and false. That Christians, all Christians, are to test and to cling to the true doctrine, but also to test and flee from the false doctrine. That true doctrine, true teaching, gives all glory to the triune God. And it comforts the troubled sinner. And that false doctrine will try to rob something from God. To steal glory from God, especially stealing from Jesus and his work of salvation. And then it leaves the troubled sinner left in his doubt or his own lack of works. A good friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine this week, said to me, "If only people were as afraid of false teaching as they are of viruses." Or maybe another way, if only people viewed false teaching as they would eating a cake that has been baked with poison in it. But you see, it's a sad testimony to the spiritual blindness which still infects hearts corrupted with original sin. So numb to spiritual things that the spiritual poison of false doctrine is never actually even felt. Even as the leaven, as Jesus calls it, infests the whole loaf, infests the whole being, robbing people of their faith in Jesus and thus taking away from them Jesus' promise of eternal life. Now, how many people would scoff at this claim about true doctrine? Many. They will demean such focus, splitting hairs, being too strict. Jesus rebukes that attitude today. He says, "Beware of false prophets, whose appearance looks good, but whose teaching is diseased and bad. Whose teaching leads souls away from Jesus and back to the one who only lies, steals, and kills with all his being." That if you think false doctrine is no big deal, then why did Jesus say what he says in Matthew 7? Why does he warn people over and over again about false teaching, about false teachers, about false Christs? Why did the Spirit bother to write the words of warning that we hear today in Jeremiah? Why does it sound strikingly similar to what almost all the Old Testament prophets say the same way? Why did the Spirit then write down the warning of St. Paul to the elders of Ephesus in Acts 20? Why do St. John, St. Peter, the evangelist Luke, also by inspiration of the same Holy Spirit, say the same warning about false doctrine and false teachers? Because no matter what man thinks, God thinks doctrine is important. For true doctrine will lead to eternal life in heaven. But false doctrine can take one for whom Christ died and send them to eternal death in hell. The one who bled to pay for sins cares about the teachings, the message that will deliver him and his works, his finished work, which will deliver that over and over. He cares about what is taught because what is taught delivers him. Or it doesn't. It's simply what Scripture teaches. And if you don't believe that, you need to read more of what the Scriptures say. And once you hear what Jesus says, what the Spirit Himself has inspired, then take heed that you are given a responsibility, a sacred responsibility from God by these words of Jesus to test the teachings according to the Word. St. John reiterates this when he says, "Test the spirits to see if they are from God." St. Paul says, "If anyone or even an angel from heaven brings a different gospel to you, you are to consider that cursed news, not good news." That if only the heresies of the Pope in Rome at the Reformation, or Muhammad, or Joseph Smith had been checked against those two very simple warning verses in Galatians chapter 1. That this is why we read, mark, learn. This is why we inwardly digest the word of Christ, the teachings of God. That we gain comfort for our souls by it, and we glorify God by it as well, and then we also arm ourselves to tell true from false, to help our fellow Christians who are on the same way, to know the voice of the Good Shepherd over and against the voice of hirelings, false prophets, wolves seeking to devour, or even that evil, old evil serpent who can manifest himself as an angel of light. But this is why we learn the small catechism over and over again. Because simply put, there is no better, no simpler, no more concise, no more true summary of the teachings of the Bible. That's the small catechism that you've learned from. The small catechism that last week's confirmands had learned from and confessed their faith based on. And as this week's new members are also learning from and will confess today as well. As you yourselves know, as you yourselves should know, and use it as a shorthand to help you in testing the spirits to see if they are from God, to test the teachings if they are true or false. You see, false doctrine from false prophets will teach you words that God did not send, that they may sound spiritual. They may even quote Scripture. After all, remember that when the devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness, he quoted Scripture at Jesus. They may appeal to your reason. They might sound very reasonable. But remember, the Scriptures themselves declare that the word of the cross, the very word of Christ's redemption of your sorry, sinful body and soul by his bloody sacrifice on your behalf, that word, the Scriptures say, is foolishness to some. And it makes those who want to earn their way into heaven stumble, trip, and fall. But the gospel, the teachings of the Scriptures as well, are not earthly. It's heavenly teaching. The earth, with its reasoning, with its excuses, with its self-justifications and works righteousness, it rejects the word. It replaces the word. It seeks to destroy it, just like it did when Christ Jesus himself came on this earth in the flesh, in grace. Just like it, right now in today's day and age, when he comes by the same grace through the word and sacrament. That rejection of the one who comes by grace, it will eventually be realized as the greatest error, the greatest, most horrible lost opportunity ever at the last. When the visitation comes not in grace but in judgment, that on that day, woe unto those who trusted in false prophets, who rejected Christ's warning, who thought nothing of doctrine, or even mocked those who care about such things, who disregarded the truth as it was so simply put out in things like the small catechism. That you are Christians, blood-bought, baptized of water and the Spirit, that Christ's work upon you, Christ's work for you, has not been in vain. And so Christ warns you today. His work is still yours. His gospel is still proclaimed. His true doctrine is still taught. He still sends men of God to teach that doctrine and proclaim it to you in sermon after sermon, in Bible study after Bible study. And this is to his glory and for your comfort, that it is proof of his continued faithfulness to you and to all those who hear and take heed by faith. This is ongoing love from God from above, that the crucified one, Jesus Christ, who was pierced for your transgressions, who died the death meant that for you as sinners out of justice, but who rose for your justification, who sent you his Spirit for your sanctification, who has provided you a congregation to be a part of and has gathered you into it, who sends pastors to rebuke, admonish, instruct, correct, and console, comfort, just like he did in his teaching, that this Jesus lives and he reigns. This Jesus shows his love by these things through these truths, and that you are his own, that you are forgiven and renewed, set once again on a right path, and freely bestowed with the light of true teachings, that you would not only know the way as these teachings guide you, that you would not only be lights unto the world around you, but that you would be able to shine that light on the darkness of our present age and all of its false teaching, to mark and avoid false teachers, but then also to be a part of leading those who have been led astray by their errors back into the way of truth. That it's a solemn and sacred thing, one which Jesus commends this day, that Jesus is the author of life, and he desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, that his word, his teaching, his doctrine is truth. It is life. It is life for you and life for all who believe it. This week, take this home. That hymn that we just sang of Dr. Luther, it is a true treasure. Hymns, no matter which one it is, teach true or false things. Hymns confess true or false things. Hymns that are true or false, sadly, they shape us, they form us. Like teaching, those hymns need to be judged by that teaching. And this hymn which we sang today is a treasure. It's light for our darkening days. Use it to study and to pray. Use it to learn. Use it to not see despair, but to see hope for all that is coming. Because the Lord God himself, he defends his true doctrine, and he remembers his flock, his own congregation. And he sends out his word, which does the fighting for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.